This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how crediting experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results. Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.
Awesome here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 NACUSO Network here in Las Vegas, Nevada. And look who is in the studio lounge, Mr. John Deering from the fine folks at Capstone. How are you, sir?
Doing very well, Mike. Good. Thanks for having me.
You are welcome.
A lot of energy around here, yeah, so
there
it's fun.
Is. Well, that's the great thing about NACUSO. There's this kind of entrepreneurial spirit here, if you will, and there's a lot of energy that goes along with it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, these are the movers and shakers mm-hmm. in the industry that mm-hmm. are looking to make a change and innovation. So,
yep, these guys are getting it done for sure. They're helping out credit unions big and small. So,
that's right.
Indeed.
That's
so, right. So how? Speaking of NACUSO, how's it going for you? Because I know you've been in a couple of sessions, and you're a busy guy here this time around.
Absolutely. No, it's been great. See old friends is mm-hmm. always nice. Mm-hmm. And I think that I've been pretty much back to back in meetings when I'm outside of the sessions. So either on the matchmaking front or extending client relationships or signing up new clients. So
yeah,
it's been great.
Any highlights, any sessions or anything like that stand out for you? I'm sure there's a bunch, but if you nail it down to one or two?
Well, you know, when you have the celebrity visit, Jerry Rice was a lot of fun.
Oh, that was pretty awesome.
You know,
awesome.
So that was great. Nick did a great job up on stage with Jerry. They seemed to have a quick, very good rapport, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. that was fun. I think the insurance session that I attended was excellent as well, talking about some new ways to address CUSO growth, so I like that one as well.
All right. Well, let's get into the session that you were just in, no more than like, what, a half hour ago, 45 minutes ago or something? So, and it was entitled, The New Age of CUSO FinTech Investing. So give us a quick overview here.
Yeah, so I think the theme that Nick Evans was putting forth there as facilitator, and I participated on the panel, mm-hmm. was around the sophistication level of investing in the credit union community has really increased over the past mm-hmm. few years.
Yep.
And then to complicate matters, there's just so many new organizations coming into the market and environment, fintechs, people wanting to start CUSOs, people wanting to partner with entrepreneurs, access new technology. So the general topic was, you know, how best to approach investing in mm-hmm. fintechs and mm-hmm. how CUSOs play a role. And so we each brought our own perspective to the table on how you might approach that.
What was your perspective, speaking of?
I guess what I tried to leave the audience with was, you know, strategy first is my first main point, that while there are a lot of alternatives out there, mm-hmm. they're not all created equal, and they're mm-hmm. certainly not all a match for you mm-hmm. at your credit union for the CUSO and FinTech investing. So really be smart at the beginning of the process about what you're trying to achieve and what your objectives are, what gaps you're trying to fill, what growth initiative you're trying to augment, and then it flows from there.
Okay.
So that was point one.
Okay, gotcha. And I noticed there was quite an extensive Q&A toward the end of your session. So what was the feedback from the audience? What were they asking you guys?
What's
going on there?
Yep, John? lots of good questions. One that really resonated with me, someone asked if a credit union should always be a user of the product, service, or technology when they are contemplating investing.
Mm-hmm,
and I
mm-hmm.
think across the board, we felt like that was the right move, because then you're better aligned. You have a say in the roadmap, you're an active user, you help, quite frankly, raise the valuation of that organization through your usage.
Mm-hmm.
And it also helps with alignment across the ownership group mm-hmm. if you're all in it together,
not only
at the capital infusion, but also on the usage.
Yeah, and you can kind of mold it as well, right?
That's right.
Have a say in what goes on and that type of stuff, which benefits the users down the line, right?
That's
so
right.
So it only gets better and better.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh. So what did you want folks to take back to the office Monday morning from your from that session? Because obviously there was a lot in there for sure.
Yeah.
But anything?
I think, practical? You know, from increasing your likelihood of success, I always suggest to folks that in the world of investing, emotion sometimes takes over. Mm-hmm. So you want to really bring an objective point of view to the table, and you want to use criteria to help you prioritize.
Yeah.
You only have two types of resources, dollars and time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about allocating those appropriately. Mm-hmm. So without an objective set of criteria to help you prioritize, everything's going to look great,
mm-hmm.
or and everything's going to look equal. So mm-hmm. even within your criteria, you want to prioritize and rank how important each of those things
mm-hmm.
are. Nick brought up the five key points that they look at for Circle, inclusive of the team and evaluating that, mm-hmm. the solution set, etc. Mm-hmm. And I think they were five great topics, but what I was trying to complement his comments around were, you know, they're not all created equal. For each organization in this room, a credit union considering investing, they're going to bring a different point of view to mm-hmm. the table, and mm-hmm. they need to honestly look themselves in the mirror and say, okay, these might have been the right set of parameters for my peer group,
yeah.
but when I was brought into this, I'm coming from a new starting point, and I might have a different set of criteria or a different order of those criteria mm-hmm. in order to make my decision.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you, like, hey, what should a credit union look for in a, you know, investing in a CUSO? So you kind of answered my question there.
Well, some of it. I think the other piece that came out during the discussion that I thought was great is people don't like to talk about the exit at the beginning, but I think one of the salient points that people walked away with was when you're considering investing in a fintech that would make it become a CUSO mm-hmm. when you put your first dollar
yeah.
in, have an open dialogue and be transparent and candid about the folks that are going to be on the ultimate
yeah.
cap table
yeah.
about their exit strategy,
yeah.
because you might have entrepreneurs that have already done it two or three times and they're in it for 3 years
mm-hmm.
and they're going to go to the next thing. You
right.
might have some credit union users that want to be there for 25 plus years
yeah.
forever, and then you might have some people in the middle that are thinking about, well, this is a next generation thing, we'll be in it for 5 to 7 years. But having that open dialogue so you can try to build alignment mm-hmm. early is important.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the title here, and there's a couple of words that stand out for me: new age. So what does the new age of CUSO, what's different today as opposed to yesterday?
Well, I think we talked about just the past couple of years, how it's just become more sophisticated individuals are involved in the process now, more fintechs that have been there and done that, and those entrepreneurs have been through fundraising 5 or 6 times over their career already.
Yeah, yeah.
Now they're coming to the credit union community and think a CUSO is a great route because
mm-hmm.
you can build that reputation, you can be owned by your user group, all sorts of good reasons for that. However, you might have a disconnect now in today's environment where not everybody is, understands the business terms of a term sheet, understands what the nuances are about dilution, understands what warrants are, understands what subordinated debt is. So you have a lot more sophisticated people coming into the environment. Credit unions are getting into a cap table with, you know, traditional venture capitalists and traditional entrepreneurs who are doing this for a living. And you just need to go in eyes wide open.
Yeah.
So that's a big change. It's
okay.
just, there wasn't that sophistication years ago.
Yeah.
The other piece of it is, and you've heard me talk about this before, that the credit union market was sheltered for years and decades and decades and decades, and now you have all these private equity groups and you have other
yeah,
folks that
right.
are professionally managed money
mm-hmm.
and institutional money buying people in the vendor chain, in the value chain. You have people investing and exiting through IPOs. You have all sorts of things happening in the credit union space now
mm-hmm.
That are very different than a few years
yeah.
ago.
And kind of segueing off of that, where do you see the future of CUSO investing? Do you see it ramping up even more so? Or
I do.
Where do you see the future?
I do. You know, we had a couple of slides up there about valuations coming down, right, in today's environment, how deal flow is coming down on the, not deal flow, overall valuation of all the fintechs out there is down.
Mm-hmm.
But that ebbs and flows every gyration of the cycle. And so we've seen it 100 times, and it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm.
But deal flow-wise and volume and the people interested are at an all-time high. And I think from the interest level that we're getting in our services alone, in that little sliver of the world, Mike, there's more people looking and hunting
yeah.
and have an interest in it.
Yep.
And they're for lots of different reasons, right? It's one, to learn. It's two, to team up with the right people. We have a labor problem, right? So we want to find the right teams
yeah.
of talent to handle product development. Precisely. Or whatever you're trying. There's lots of different strategic reasons to do it, mm-hmm. But I think the whole tide is up, and you know, more CUSOs, more fintechs, more people looking to change their cap table for different reasons. So yeah, it's going to continue.
Oh, I was floored when I first heard that there's more than 1,200 CUSOs out there. I knew there was, it was a lot, but I didn't know it was that many. Like, wow. compared to what it was like 5 years ago? Are you kidding me?
And in the past 2 years, no, I think the number's always been over 1,000 since I've been involved.
Oh, okay.
But I think it just keeps going up higher and higher and higher. And I think, to your point, there are so many new ones that are being created.
Yeah.
And as a result of post-COVID and during COVID, more and more people are looking at, you know, the trend lines out there and demographics, et cetera, and want to figure out a way. But ultimately, the challenge is going to be, honestly, from my perspective, stepping back, and, you know, the credit union number is down to under 5,000, and the CUSO numbers are going up. So it's, at some point, there's going to be an inflection where many CUSOs can you possibly sustain in an environment that's declining?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the flip side of that is obviously a lot of these CUSOs now, where they reach a certain point, they're looking to expand into community banks as well.
I've heard that too. Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at ways, how can I expand my open market? And with some with more success than others, but it's been in the strategy discussions that we're involved in.
Well, that was talked about at FinTech Meetup last week, which was, you know, 3,000 credit union, bank, fintech, you name it, they were there. But a lot of the buzz in the hallways, like, there are a lot of fintechs.
Yep.
Can this many support,
right.
you know, and it's growing, and it's keep growing and growing. So almost kind of the same statement there. There are a lot of them. Are they going to be around in 2 years, you know?
Well, not all of them are going to be successful.
A CUSO is a different story.
That's right.
Right.
That's
but
right.
A fintech who's privately owned is a whole other program.
That's right. But to your point, there are a lot more than there were in the credit union community than there were a year ago, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and that's not going to subside.
Yeah, and especially when you have one going up and one going down. So all right, good stuff, sir. Anything else to add here, John?
This is
a fascinating topic, I think.
Yeah, I think there's, like you said, there's always different complementary storylines that we could expand into, but it's a fun area. Love the community. Mm-hmm. This event's wonderful, you know, there's a lot of good people out there that are trying to make a difference, and that's what I love.
Yeah, a lot of them are here.
That's
probably 99.9% of males. Go with 100%. They're all here wanting to make a difference for sure.
That's right.
All right, John. Well, thanks again. As always, great information, always an education, and always fun too.
Yeah.
Well
done,
sir.
Thank you very much.
A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. This episode is sponsored by the On with Origins podcast. Learn how credit union experts conquer today's toughest challenges while driving measurable results.